Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sunday and the Sunday edition of Housing Information You Can Trust right here for the next 2 hours with the Inside Outside Guys. My name is Ken Carverly. I am the Outside Guy.
Good morning, everybody. Happy to be with you on this Sunday morning. It's actually a beautiful morning again.
It is.
November.
Who are you?
I know.
Who are you?
Being a nice, happy guy?
That's Chuck Bryanside, the Inside Guy.
I forgot.
You forgot. It's early already, isn't it?
It is early.
It's not. How long have you been awake?
Not long. Actually, I slept in this morning. I got up about 20 after 6.
20 after 6 is sleeping into you.
Coffee.
And
it is on a work day.
That's funny. Not a work day. That's funny. That's good. So during your career, what time did you normally get up?
Probably 5:30.
Why? 5:30 is not bad. 5:30.
You know
is
what? I think it was Catholic guilt. I've always admitted that I got my therapy, my mental and emotional therapy, by sleeping, because when times are tough in business, right?
Yeah.
You and I talk about that all the time, and rest to me was a way to, it was a good therapeutic treatment. But as soon as my eyes, fluttered in the morning, I'd go, you got to get up and go. Go do things. And I'm not sure what the motivation was, except maybe fear of failing.
Blame your church.
Yeah, I know. I really think you and I are very much alike in that regard.
No, we're not.
It's like we had a family, and it's like, man, I got to get out there and take care of them, which sounds better than I'm not that good a guy. I don't mean that.
Years ago, I was at a 4th of July party with a lot of very good friends. And my wife starts bragging about how I never need an alarm clock to wake up in the morning. And I just didn't. I still don't.
Yeah.
I don't use one. Very, very rarely do I use one. But everyone was real impressed. And then I don't know how much longer. It wasn't that much longer. But he goes, in front of everyone, he goes, "Hey, Ken, yeah, what time do you get up in the morning?"
Noon. No.
7. I'm a historically guy. I get up at 7 in the morning. My kids had to be at school by 8. My wife and I drove them every day. And I was the guy that could get up at 7, literally be out of the door by 7:15. Okay. And he goes, "Well, no wonder you have no problem getting up in the morning. You get up at 7 a.m. But I'm like you. My sleep is super important to me. Once I fall asleep, but what used to drive me crazy as a dad would be right when I start to go into REM, somebody would wake me up. And the kids knew that was the wrong time to wake me up. My wife knew that was the wrong time to wake me up because I couldn't get back to sleep after that. Now, I don't have that problem sleeping anymore. I'm a pretty good sleeper.
Study after study has supported for decades the need for good rest, and that we as a society are getting less and less of it.
Yeah.
And that explains a lot of, perhaps, societal ills, that are out there.
That's never me. I honestly believe that I've always been able to get good sleep. Now, here's something I used to do a lot during the week, because I would drive. I mean, I would cover. I used to put 50,000 miles a season on my vehicle. And I would, in one day, here's what a day would look for me in the morning. I'd wake up. I live in southern Genesee County. I'd drive to Ann Arbor. Then I'd drive to Taylor, Michigan. Then I'd drive to Gross Point. Then I'd drive out to New Baltimore. Then I'd drive to Royal Oak. Then I'd drive to, and that's how my days went forever. I was just out there bidding jobs.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I would ask my gal, "Do me a favor, give me a little break." So let's say I had something at noon, I would have another one till 2. And I would find a nice little shady tree to park under. And I used to love to take a nap. I would just put my head back. I'd put my seat back. I'd take a nap. And you want to know the craziest thing? In all the years I've done that, and I've done it hundreds of times, I never got harassed by a police officer or anything, except one time when I had the nerve to park in a church parking lot. And the church came out and told me to leave.
That's funny you say that, because my little brother and I were going scuba diving somewhere 45 years ago. We didn't have a dime to our name. And we got there the night before. We pulled in the church parking lot, and I was in a truck. We just fell asleep in the truck, and we got kicked out of that parking lot. Yeah, a church parking lot. That's funny you say that.
That's, you know what? You walk up, you look at the person, you can quickly assess whether they're a threat or not, or whether they're just trying to get some rest. And as a church, you go, didn't he say come here to rest?
I mean, it's not like we were partying or drinking or anything else. We just pulled in, shut off the truck, locked the doors, and fell asleep.
And they kicked you out.
Yeah.
And you were in their parking
lot. True story.
Yeah, it's too bad.
That's funny you say that. You and I have never shared that. Did you know that Santa has an almost impossible task coming up next month?
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
He has to visit 823 homes per second.
Wow. I think Santa's got some helpers.
That's what. He has, because of adjustments for time zone differences, 31 hours, not 24.
Well, I mean,
to deliver all those gifts.
More than half the world doesn't believe in, you know,
oh,
Santa.
What if he skips them?
So, yeah, I think he just skips them.
Oh, that cuts that down to 411 houses.
Oh, that's doable.
Per second.
Yeah, that's no problem. Santa can do anything.
Are we going to invite phone calls today, or what's going on?
800-859-0957.
So that'd be a yes.
Yes. That'd be a yes for any and all of your housing needs. We have a great show scheduled for you today because Chuck and I do our best. We really do. We try to keep it to one guest, especially when we're in studio. And we try to have a conversation the first hour, but we really put that second hour between 11 and noon for you, the listeners, to give us calls and ask us questions. Now, a little warning, we had a hiccup on our email this week. So if you sent us an email on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, we didn't get it. And we apologize. If you're listening, please send it back. I think that's the only time that's ever happened.
I don't think it's ever happened.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So we're not going to be able to respond to those emails. So please send them back.
17 years.
But we don't want the emails to take place. And it is. Bottom line, it is. It's taken place. People feel more comfortable sending emails, and we don't get the phone calls here because of it. But we want to be here for you, the homeowner, the listener, more than anything else.
I love it.
Yep.
And so our goal. Darn you, call.
Our goal from day one is to bring homeowners housing information they can trust, whether it's right here on the radio or the dozens of trustworthy professionals you can find at theinsideoutsideguys.com. Again, you're listening to The Inside Outside Guys, WTKA, WLBY, WJR.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. Phone lines are open, and we're going to have a guest coming in at 10:30, right?
Rich Piccarelli from Calculus Foundation, a great company. We've known Rich for many, 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 many years. We trust Rich, and he'll be coming in at 10:30. What the gentleman just said there about the podcast at theinsideoutsideguys.com, we really want people to remember that because we understand not everybody can be here at 10 a.m. every Saturday and Sunday morning. But every one of our shows does get posted at theinsideoutsideguys.com that you can go and listen to any time you want to.
That's good news. You know, the foundation news with Rich and Calculus, you know, we love having good companies that we actually trust to refer because there are some bad players out there doing what Calculus and FSM and them do, right?
There are. There absolutely are. I mean, was it yesterday? And we got an example of someone that was told they needed new foundation work, and they didn't need new foundation work in his roots. So
it's scary.
It is scary. It is scary.
We hate to think that a homeowner would ever get taken advantage of in that way, so we love that, looking forward to that. Did you know at any time there are 1,800 thunderstorms going on somewhere on Earth?
Oh, I had no idea. That's interesting.
I know it is.
What's up deal with tornadoes? Do tornadoes happen anywhere else but the U.S.?
Oh, I'm sure they do.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Really?
Yeah, because you just don't hear about those kind of storms in other places. And I think it has a lot to do with our geography, with having those two mountain ranges at each end of our country. But you never hear about them in other countries.
I mean, they're caused by, you know, hot air rising quickly and being replaced by cold air, you know, that's flooding in to replace the warm air rising. I got to believe that happens. I mean, it's like you see it in deserts.
But yeah, the tight little...
Yeah, what do they call that? You see them out on water, out in the water.
Water spout. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I gotta believe they do. They are said to be the most intense storm there is, but because they don't cover as broad a range as a hurricane or have the length of time
right
associated
right
with them,
right,
that hurricanes do.
Right,
hurricanes tend to get all the publicity.
I think you get a lot of tornadoes from hurricanes. Remember the movie Twister?
I do.
In the 90s, I believe. Now, that was a really good movie for like a Dolby sound system, if you ever listen to that.
Oh, yeah.
But the whole movie to me lost itself at the very end. At the very end, they should have been cut up into 1,000 different little pieces. Remember at the very end where they're hanging onto a strap and this shed goes away from them as they're hanging onto the strap and they're literally hanging onto it as their feet are flying. They would have got cut up by so many different pieces of
stuff flying through the air.
Yeah, but they came out without a scratch. Yeah.
So the Wicked Witch thing? Oh, wait, that's a different movie. Sorry.
That's a different movie, yes. Which you said you just watched.
I know.
Didn't you say you just watched
that? Yes, we did. My wife and I watched the original Wizard of Oz. How cool.
How many times have you seen that movie in your lifetime?
Probably 10.
That and, the one with Dick Van Dyke, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, scared the heck out of me as a little kid.
My wife said that about the Wizard of Oz. She said I was so scared watching that movie.
Well, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, there was a character that went around with a net trying to catch the children. Children, right? Yeah, and I just remember that scared the heck out of me.
Believe me, no one would have voluntarily taken you. Never mind. So what was our article about this week in the...
Ooh, that smell.
Detroit News.
Can't you smell that smell? That's what that article is about.
You know, we got a lot of emails about people that are kind of locking themselves in the house.
Yep.
Just another one yesterday.
Yep. Yep.
And people are going, we're smelling smells. What? So what could different smells be in the house? So mold, we talk about, you know, the basement smell all the time, right?
Yes.
What else?
Death. Death.
I laugh, but I know exactly. You're right.
You know, it's funny because our friends at Amnesty Air Duct Cleaning, they'll send us pictures of dead animals inside of air ducts. And my first thought is, how did the people not smell
I know.
That?
I feel the same way. If you've ever smelled death, you know, the one thing I remember my dad was with one of the big generals in World War II.
One of the big generals. He was the biggest general.
I can't. Yeah, he was about 6'2". No, anyway. But I remember him talking about, he said he was blessed never to have to be
in the battle.
In the battles.
Right.
But they would go in immediately following battles, right?
Yep.
So this guy apparently could parade through, whatever.
Yep.
But the smell of death, he said miles before you got to a city or a battle site, you would smell that smell.
And that's human death, too. Yeah, I mean, I like there's a difference, but to me, I would...
No, but you'd think in a home, if you had that kind of sweet, pungent odor of...
Sweet?
Ugh. I know, I hate to say that. It's. Yeah.
I tell a story of my brother-in-law, who was a Detroit fireman for his whole career, literally stepped on bodies going in and out of houses. He came out to our place to hunt a deer one time, and he couldn't clean it or gut it. My 16-year-old son had to do it for him because he just couldn't physically do it.
So mildew.
Yep.
Possible dead critter somewhere in the basement or crawl or chimney or sidewall or attic.
Musty, dusty. Yep.
A sewer smell. Maybe you got a trap that dried out.
Yes.
And sewers coming back through a pipe. Yep. What else?
Dishwashers. Dishwashers, yeah. The seals on dishwashers.
Washing machines,
those
gaskets.
Yep.
You know, so food in a sink or something like that, in a refrigerator for sure,
mm-hmm.
or a freezer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that maybe it was disconnected for 2 days and then reconnected.
So we get emails, you know, we had an email recently, someone said they've looked at everything and they ask us, and we just can't guess what it could be. But those are the culprits. So how do you discover that smell is the question.
Exactly.
So to me, I would try to isolate. I would try to go in every room and shut every door and really see if I could smell it. I'd open up the registers. I'd take the register lid off. I'd stick my nose down there and see if I could smell it. If you have controls for a bathtub or something like that, take the controls out, look back there. Because trust me, a dead mouse in your house will smell. He'll smell just one dead mouse.
Yeah.
You should be able to smell something like that.
Have an intense little flashlight.
Yeah, there you go.
We've even used to carry crochet hooks because you could take the plate off of a receptacle or a switch and get between the box and the cut drywall and see if there's anything in, you know, that you could pull
out. Sure.
You could tell if insulation was getting moldy or wet, or anything like that. Yeah. But I agree with you. That's a tough thing to detect if you've got an odor you can't identify. Usually you can identify it, right?
Yep.
Death, that's mold, that's, food. But if you can't identify it, that's a little tougher for people.
Yeah, that is. That is. And, I mean, the main way you get rid of is by killing it with a bleach. That's, to me, the best way. Even a slight bleach solution will kill just about any smell out there.
Yeah.
But you have to discover it first. That's why it's so important to stick your head up in your attic every once in a while. You just don't know.
I agree.
If you stuck your attic like tonight after the sun goes down, stick your head up in your attic and just look for daylight. You should see some around the edges, but you may be surprised and see a piece of siding or something missing.
How can you do that after the sun goes down?
I'm sorry. Well, you're right. Good point.
I was thinking.
You're right.
That ain't going to work.
Normally we do it with a flashlight. So you do it while the sun's up, and that's when you'll see the day. Yeah, you and 100 other people are going, what? What are you talking about there? You're right.
So mad at you. I love it. There's so many things like that that you and I talk about, and we try to. Circulating air. Smells are literally particulates suspended in the air. So
right.
If you can filter that air by moving it past the furnace filter even, or room filters, anything like that.
But it's so true. There are so many out of sight, out of mind places in a home. And two that are the most popular is the attic and the furnace room. The room downstairs where you may have all your equipment. No one ever likes a crawl space. No one ever likes going in there. But you got to stick your head in there every once in a while and take a look.
Every once in a great while.
Every once in a great while.
Right? Yeah, just be careful. I would have you stick your head up there to make sure no critters so you don't get attacked.
Critters don't bother me.
don't want to get my head bit off.
Right, right. So that's what we do about when it comes to odors. But what you don't want to do is what so many people do. They don't get rid of the odor. They just mask the odor, and that's one of the worst things you can do.
That's scary to me. It's one thing to introduce this time of year maybe a little natural infused, citrus smell or something,
Pine. Yeah, right.
Something. But it's quite another to have things plugged in 24/7 year-round that are giving off, to me, chemical.
And that may be the reason a lot of people don't smell those smells is because they have stuff masking it up.
Yeah.
It's very important that you don't do that.
Yeah.
Very important. Especially when we're so closed into our houses like we're about to be for the next 3 months.
Yeah. Circulate air. Move air through that filter. Have a really good filter and see if that doesn't help.
Yep. A lot of ways you could make your house smell better and feel better and be more comfortable that do not cost a lot of money. And if you now want to know what those are, like I said, listen to the Inside Outside Guys, send us an email. We're more than happy to help. Taking your phone calls, 800-859-0957.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. Hey, we got a solution for that wet basement or crawl space.
Yeah, you and I are always talking how important it is, not just to keep those crawl spaces and basements dry, but you know what? The two most important areas of your house are your roof and your foundation. And they both have to be sturdy, steady, or the rest of the house is just going to fall apart, right?
Absolutely.
And we have a gentleman on the line who has been in the basement and foundation industry as long as we've been in our industry. And he's a wealth of knowledge. And that man is Rich Piccarelli from Calculus Foundation. Rich, how you doing, buddy?
Great, guys. How are you?
We are doing great. What's going on with you today? Are you out bidding jobs today? You working or are you spending some time with the family?
Believe it or not, this morning I'm in the office and actually has sent out a couple proposals this morning.
Well, we do believe it because we've been there.
Yep.
People don't realize that business people have to do that stuff. You're working on a Sunday sending out proposals. You know?
And it's not the first time.
Nope. And it won't be the last.
No,
Rich, we first met you probably close to 20 years ago. And at that point, you were working for another company that wound up leaving the area. But thank goodness your knowledge did not leave the area because we need it here. And you opened up Calculus Foundation Repair. It's in the name, but tell people everything that you guys do.
I'm curious, before you do, how did you come up with that name, Calculus?
Well, believe it or not, Calculus Foundation's been around since the early 80s. I was fortunate enough to work for that company in the early 2000s. Things happened, you know, I left that company, but ended up, now I own it. It's been in business for a very long time, but it's a great name. What I've heard in the past is one of the original owners of Calculus was actually a calculus instructor or teacher.
Oh, so was Chuck.
That's the name he picked. And I love it. I actually love that name. That's why I wanted it so much.
Okay, I'm joking. Neither one of us do math. We're terrible at math. So, Rich, being in our, we are in a very unique part of the country that has very little drainable soil. And yes, it causes a lot of problems for basements and foundations in our area. What are some of the things that you run into out there in the field?
So right now, the funny thing is we had an extremely dry summer. We haven't had that much rain this year. So what we're running into right now is a lot of settlement in homes. Homes are sinking, commercial buildings. So I would say probably right now, 80% of what I'm looking at is settlement in homes, you know, additions, even brand new homes that we're seeing a lot of settlement right now. So
how does
right
that
now,
show up? How do you observe that?
What people are noticing in their home, they'll see some cracks by the window, maybe a window or door having a really hard time opening more than usual. And then they'll see a lot of step cracking, even in the foundation outside when they're doing their landscaping or walking around the house, they'll see some step cracking in the brick. Those are the signs. And those are, when you see those, obviously it's already too late. You definitely want to call a professional. You definitely want to call Calculus Foundation.
Rich, when they, the problem is in Southeast Michigan, people will see a crack and they'll go, oh, it's Michigan. It's supposed to crack. And they don't start worrying about it until maybe it starts leaking. Can you come out and repair those cracks in a basement wall before it starts leaking? And is that what you would suggest?
Absolutely. If you see a crack in your, especially on a poured wall, when you see a crack in there, those are minimal, you know. So, well, I shouldn't say that. Some of them are minimal. When you see them straight up and down, those can be injected, usually with an epoxy or a urethane. We can inject those. And the price of that is a lot, you know, it's minimal compared to digging it up from the outside and repairing it. Now, I'm not saying every crack can be repaired that way. That's why you have us come out and take a look at it.
So how will I know? I mean, if you guys come out, will you do an analysis and then maybe propose solutions to me? How's that work?
Absolutely. So we'll come out, we'll send one of our professionals out or myself. I do a lot of the proposals still myself. So we'll come out, we look at the crack, and we'll determine if it's just a stress crack and it can be injected or if it's a diagonal crack. Sometimes it means the wall's actually moving. On a block wall, when you see a crack in it, obviously, there's, you know, it's a different repair. We can't inject block. We have to, only poured walls can we inject.
Okay.
What do you do for block?
Well, block, if we're dealing with block, depending on the crack, you know, if it's sheared right through, sometimes it tells us the wall's coming in, step cracking in the block, the wall could be moving or settling. And so when you're dealing with something like that, we have to determine if it's a settlement crack or if the wall is coming in. And if it's just a normal crack in the wall, we can just waterproof it from the outside. And sometimes we can even do the internal drain system on a crack like that. Just, no, but like it, it can't be a structural repair.
Rich, if it's settlement, is there a concern that after Calculus does a repair that the house is going to continue to settle? How's that all work?
So with settlement cracks, no. Once we put our helical piers in, we give you a lifetime warranty. That will never settle again in any area we work. Actually, everything we do, we give a lifetime warranty with. But once the helical piers in, and I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with helical piers. Actually, yes, you are. But we can install the helical piers, and once those are locked in, there is no movement.
And if there is?
Well, we would come out and take a look at it, and maybe it's a different section of the house that's moving, you know. The whole house is tied together. So sometimes people will see cracking in the front and then maybe a little bit of cracking in the back. Sometimes it pulls it. It's like holding a rope. If you're holding one end and I hold the other and I pull it, the whole rope wants to come. So sometimes if you have settlement in the front, you might see some cracking in the back. That's when one of our professionals will come out and actually look at it and determine what is actually moving.
Rich, explain to those people that have no clue. You use the term helical piers. What are they? What are they? What do they do? How do you install them?
Okay, so helical pier, the best way I can describe is imagine, you know, a drywall screw, but much larger scale. It's got helicals on it. And what we do is we dig next to the foundation and actually get underneath the foundation. And we put a helical, and it's screwed in, okay? We have a huge drive head that actually turns them in like a big screwdriver next to the foundation. And then we have a bracket that goes underneath the foundation. And we put our components together, and we have a jack that sits on top, and we actually try to push the helical down. But once it's in solid soils, it won't move, and it starts to lift on the bracket. So we can actually lift some of that settlement and put it right back into place for you.
And actually close up gaps in the brick or the block work while you do
that. Yeah, absolutely. It happens all the time. We close them right up. I had someone that couldn't use their windows for 13 years, and once we put the helicals in, all their windows worked again.
That's cool. That's good. Now, Rich, because we have so much clay and because you work on basements, you have to dig quite a hole next to the foundation before you could even start putting those helical piers in. Is that a dangerous thing for workers? Is it really important that the company like yours knows how to properly excavate to keep people safe?
That is a great question. And yes, 100%, we have to be safe. I wouldn't put my guys in a hole that wasn't safe. On a 42-inch foundation, not so bad, but when you're digging next to a basement, you step it or you shore it to make sure no one gets hurt. And that's not even a normal waterproofing job. We have to shore them correctly so no one gets hurt in the holes.
A minute ago, you alluded to there are multiple ways to repair a basement. When we get back from break, we're going to talk more about how to repair the basement properly as we continue this conversation with Rich Piccarelli from Calculus Foundation Repair and Waterproofing.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. Hey, we've got somebody that's an expert in his field. How's that?
Mr. Rich Piccarelli from Calculus Foundation and Basement Repair. Rich, before we went to break, you know, I look at your website, and I see a great website. And I notice one of your pictures has a dimpled fabric, for lack of a better word, up against the foundation wall or the basement wall. If I get my foundation repaired, in other words, I get you guys to put some helical piers in, is that something that you're automatically going to do before you backfill?
Absolutely. Anytime we do helical piers on a basement, it goes hand in hand to waterproof that basement too. You know, you're lifting a structure, and I've seen companies do pockets on basements, and to me, I just won't do it. I'd rather not do it that way. I do a full excavation on a basement, install the helical piers, and then after the lift, we waterproof it, replace the drain tile, and then you get the tar and the membrane on the wall, and then we haul away all the dirt. I don't like putting any dirt back on basement walls. It just creates issues, so we backfill with a stone and then cap it with the topsoil.
Okay. So I love what you're saying. I don't want to challenge you, but boy, that's going to cost more money for a homeowner if you're going to take away all that native soil and bring in good drainable soil. But yes, it is, Chuck and I will tell people, it is so necessary. And other companies will come in and they'll just bid putting that stuff back, so the job's less money, but it's nowhere near the job it should be, because we believe every house that's built should have the native soils removed and bring in a drainable soil.
Right, Chuck? Okay, we've written articles on that, you bet. Yep.
I agree with that 100%. You know, it's unfortunate some people look at a price, but if you actually look down, you know, look and compare what you're getting, what happens, I've noticed, when people put the dirt back in, it causes problems later. One, the grade is horrible, and then they might have to hire a landscaper or somebody to come haul away the extra dirt because it's going to be 3 feet higher than normal. But two, after a while, when you know when clay soils start to compact again, it can cause other issues. And then they're calling somebody back out because the wall is actually starting to go in. So when you backfill with that dirt, it might be cheaper now, but later you're redigging it and then hauling away the dirt to fix the basement wall because it started coming in. That is so much pressure that you're putting back on on that basement wall.
I mean, compare the weight of a shovel full of clay to a shovel full of pea pebble.
Well, and I'll tell you, I remember one of the things we did in our project management program, we would take saturated clay, subject it, weigh it, and then subject that to an oven and completely dry it out and exhaust the moisture from it and weigh it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because clay holds moisture and will conduct moisture, whereas that stone or sand does not. And it's tremendous when you think of the force that might be against the basement wall. So we love what you do, Rich.
Thank you. You know, people have asked me, well, the other company's doing it like this. I don't want to do that to them. You know, the price sounds great, but it's not the right way to do it.
Right, right. And what you just said a minute ago, you're not just going to do a section. In other words, if I've got a 40-foot basement wall, but I only have a crack on one side, and I'm going, Rich, you've only got to take care of this. As a homeowner, I need to listen to the man that has decades in the business and why it's necessary, in his opinion, not to make more money because it's more work, mm-hmm. not to make more money, but to do it right, that you can put, because, Rich, the last thing you want, Chuck and I always say, nobody wins in a warranty situation. So no. You want to make sure you do everything you can, let's be honest, to never warranty it.
That's correct. I always tell customers, no one pays me the second time to come out here. I have to come for free. So when I do a job, I do it right the first time. I don't, you know, I want to be friends with them, but I don't want to have to come back to fix the house again. So we fix it right the first time.
I respect that. Kevin, what's that website you mentioned? What is the website you went to?
For Rich?
Yeah. Well,
they can find you at theinsideoutsideguys.com, but it's calculusfoundation.com.
That's it.
Rich, you also mentioned, and I said going to the break, that you have different ways to waterproof. What are some of the different ways you may tell people? Because some companies just do it inside. That's all they do.
Correct. Yeah, there's some companies, and that's fine. But we're set up to do inside or outside. Like I talked about earlier, there's crack injections that we can do. A lot of people call us with their chimney leaking, and there's a drain, so we can have a simple solution of like an internal system. And then there's waterproofing, and that's from the outside. So it's a complete excavation down to the bottom, hauling all the dirt away, replacing the drain tile. Then we coat it with a mastic tar, the trowel grade tar, and then we put our dimple board over the top of that. And then we backfill the stone. And then what we like to do is before we put the topsoil down, we put a landscape fabric down and then the topsoil. So the topsoil doesn't just, you know, go through the stone.
Keeps it separate.
Good, right. Man. You know, people don't realize there's a difference between waterproofing, which you just described on the outside, and then redirecting mm-hmm. water, which is what's typically done on the inside.
That's right. Water diverting on the inside, waterproofing from the outside.
So, Rich, when people call you, what is one of the first things they notice? Do many people just call you and say, you know, we're noticing a really musty smell? What's typically known in Michigan as the Michigan basement smell?
It is the musty smell. There's no doubt about it. That's usually what people notice first. And then they'll see, you know, maybe some effervescence. It looks like almost like a white powder at the bottom of their basement, typically showing that maybe there's water in the wall or a crack. They'll get that white effervescence. Even on the basement floors, people might notice cracks in the floor where there's white effervescence building up around the crack or a dampness look. Those are the beginning stages. I'm going to tell everybody one thing right now. The biggest thing you need to do, if you do see water or dampness like that, check your sub pump. Make sure that is working, because if it's not, it will make your whole basement flood, right? Everything runs to the sub, if you have a sub pump, everything runs to that sub pump. But if it's not working, I could tell you probably this year alone, I had 10 calls and people thought they had a water problem. I went out there and it was just a sub pump malfunctioning, not working. We replaced the sub pump for them and it was all good.
See, that's honesty, because some companies would go in and let the people think they have a huge issue and try to sell them tens of thousands of dollars worth of work. But that makes perfect sense, because if those drain tiles, if the sump pump's not working, those drain tiles are going to fill up with water. And when they do, it's going to, as a homeowner, it looks like you're having a basement leak. That's all you see.
Yes. I get that a lot. Had it a few times already this year, probably. You know, when we did have rain, we had those issues. And that's just a simple fix of replacing your sump pump.
Great stuff. So sump pumps. So you actually replace the sump pumps, and you also, I'm assuming, do battery. But what kind of backup sump pumps do you install, Rich?
I do battery backup. I prefer the battery. You know, some people like the water backup system. They're great. The question I ask people when they want a backup system is, when you lose power, how long is it? If it's just a couple of days, battery backup is definitely the way to go. If you have lost power for weeks, then a water backup. But just remember, I always tell everybody, remember, when that water backup works, it's very expensive.
You're going to get a big bill. How do people get hold of you, Rich?
People can get a hold of us. Our phone number here at the office is 586-400-8400. You can look us online for calculusfoundation.com. We give 100% free estimates. We're licensed and insured. Call us anytime. We'll happy to come out and take a look at your home.
And, of course, people can also find you at theinsideoutsideguys.com. So if I call you from Gaylord, Michigan, you're going to come take a look at it?
Depends on the project. But funny thing is we do travel. It's funny. Last winter, I did a job in Florida, and right after that, I did a job in the UP. So, you know, for the right job, we travel all through Michigan.
Okay, bottom line, all Chuck and I care about is that you take care of our listeners, and we know that you will, and we very much appreciate that, Rich.
Thanks, Rich. Glad you're on board, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great Sunday.
All right. Rich Piccarelli from Calculus Foundation Repair and Waterproofing. Great team partner, the Inside Outside Guys. And you can find a lot more great team partners at theinsideoutsideguys.com. We're going to take your phone calls. Line them up. Phone lines are open. 800-859-0957.
Welcome back, everybody. I want to say thanks to Rich for taking the time out on a Sunday. You know, so few people, you and I are not at all surprised. We get business people calling us on a Sunday to do a little spiel, talk about their business, and they just hang up. Nobody thinks anything of it because back in the day, it was just 7 days a week. It didn't really matter that it was Saturday or Sunday. And I'm not trying to be funny with that. It really didn't.
What I respect about Rich is he's there. Okay, what I used to try to do, I'm sure you did the same thing. Sunday was a day where I didn't want to talk to any employees. If I had to go to work, I liked being alone at work so I can get my...
I'm sure that's where he is.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
You know, right? A buddy of ours, Mike Tobin, I know, goes in on Sundays for that reason a lot. He just has the entire building to himself. He can get a lot done. You know, and that's so typical of business people. And people don't realize that that's just kind of the nature of the beast, right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
So how about the coupon page? We're coming up on the holidays. People are wondering what the heck to buy mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa. We've got some great stuff going on at theinsideoutsideguys.com.
At the Inside Outside Guys special offers page, every one of many of our team partners have got something there at the special offer.
We mentioned John McFarlane, you know, McFarlane Painting. Literally, I think it was a $3,500 minimum contract, and they were offering $500 off. That's huge.
Yep.
That's a ton of money.
So let's go over a couple that we have here. The first one you're going to find is $50 off from Amnesty Air Duct Cleaning. It really equals around 10%.
You know, they have done such a great job. We actually, you and I asked Steve Dickinson how the heck they had maintained a low price for what they do.
Because you're right.
When you sit and look at the vehicle and the people they send out, it's like, that should cost a couple $1,000s, really.
You know,
it's amazing.
Steve and Mike are such hard workers, but they've set that company up.
Man.
I don't want to say to run themselves because they're the leaders, and the leaders are invaluable, but they've put people in place to make this company run very efficiently. And we talked to them about how they keep their prices low. And they, compared to the industry, their prices have stayed low. They don't go up when everyone else
Amazingly
is
so, yeah.
And we love that.
I know.
We love that.
Bless their heart.
CNC Heating and Air Conditioning has a coupon in there for a $69 furnace tune-up. So here's a coupon where they're going to lose money coming out to your house.
Yeah. Give you a peace of mind.
To give you a peace of mind. And this is the time that you want that. I mean, this is a great present for anyone that you know to make sure that they know that their system's going to be fine throughout the winter.
Yeah.
That's a great gift.
Or if there is an issue, they're already then on the list of a great company, CNC.
$100 off every $1,000 spent from Floor Covering International.
You know what?
10%.
How many people are putting new floors in for the holidays?
$500 off any job over $5,000 from U.S. Waterproofing. Kearns Brothers has 10% off. Cook & White. Now, we don't talk as much as we should about Cook & White because they're over in the Ann Arbor area, and they stick in that Ann Arbor area, so they're not going to go far around. But they are a great company. They've been around for decades.
I know.
And our Ann Arbor listeners have a jewel in their area.
Well kept secret.
Cook & White.
What did you say, the one from Kearns Brothers?
10%.
That's huge.
10% up to $4,000. Yep.
I mean, you look at the price of a new roof, you're hovering, you know, 20 to 40 grand, depending on the house and the shingle. That is huge.
Yep. And okay. here's MacFarlane. They've got a $250 one here, but they even got a bigger one out there you just mentioned. Let's see. Metro Electric, if you get a generator from there, you get your first year of maintenance, no cost whatsoever.
And a 10-year guarantee.
They got a $25 off residential service. Just so many. A new company that people will be hearing quite a bit about is Pure Air Michigan Mold and Pathogen Removal. We get a lot of emails asking how people can get their air cleaner. And so here's what we're going to do from now on. We're going to send them the link to Pure Air Michigan and Mold. Good company.
I like it.
So at the Inside Outside Guys special offers page, just about every one of our team partners. Here's one for Waterwork Plumbing. Free camera inspection. No expiration. Free cameras.
Think of the value of that.
So they're going to send someone out to your house and send that camera down your drains and make sure everything's copacetic down there. And once you do that, you have no worries.
Well, you can see what the situation is. So let's say you found a bunch of broken tile between your house and the street. You got time to collect a little bit of budget and pay for a repair, maybe in the spring or something. I love that.
We also have something called career opportunities. And no, Chuck and I are not hiring, but our people are. So if you think you want to get into service industry, into the trades, a company like Waterwork Plumbing, Shelby Mechanical, they would hire an 18-year-old kid right out of high school. That matter of fact, that's probably who they prefer to hire because they can train him in their way of doing business.
Metro Electric.
Yeah, I mean, you have an 18-year-old son or daughter. You know they're not college-bound, and that's okay. Most people aren't. To send them to a Metro Electric where they can, for the next 4 or 5 years, learn how to become an electrician while they're getting paid.
That is.
No student debt.
Amazing.
Especially if they're personable, if they can talk, if they can look someone in the eye and explain something. Those kind of people are very valuable.
They really are. You know, it's funny, you and I were talking to Steve Dickinson from Amnesty. And I said, Steve, are you interviewing? He said, all the time.
Yes.
He said, it is so hard to find good people, but if they find good people, they hire them and they find a spot.
And that's what they look for first.
Exactly.
They look for good people first, and they will find a spot for them. And he doesn't hire, I mean, his hiring of the people he interviews is probably 10%. And
maybe.
Let me tell you something, everyone out there. That's hard to do because so many companies are desperate for people. Unfortunately, they wind up just hiring bodies because they need to get people out of the job site. The good companies don't do that because they know the risk that they're putting not just themselves at, but their customers as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's so important.
So you got all kinds of really cool ideas with people you can trust for Christmas, for the holidays, you know, for mom, dad, grandpa, grandma.
Absolutely. Now, you and I always said we know how hard we are to shop for.
Oh.
So we want to give people as many options as possible.
Exactly.
Again, we don't want your emails to take a place of your calls, because when you call in while we're on the air, everybody learns with your questions. So if you have the questions, give us a call, 800-859-0957. You're listening to the Inside Outside Guys, WTKAWLBYWJR.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. You almost start talking.
Well, you know what's funny? If I turn the mic on and then I try to adjust my mic, everyone hears this creaking sound, so I had to turn it off.
You're such a fuss budget.
I am not.
800-859-0957. We would love to hear from you. We actually reserve this time to talk with you, our listeners.
We do. Phone lines are open. We were talking to Rich Pickerell earlier from Calculus Foundation and Basement Waterproofing. And we asked him about how people can tell that they have an issue. And he pointed out cracks in concrete, cracks in drywall. However, not every drywall crack that you see is going to be an issue. Matter of fact, most drywall cracks you see are not going to be an issue of the foundation. And there are a lot of drywall cracks that then repaired and repaired and repaired and repaired, and they come back. And the reason they do that is because usually it's where two pieces of drywall might meet. A lot of time the header above an opening isn't wide enough. You know, Chuck, I see it all the time on garages. So most garage doors are 16 feet long. And you're the mason. You got your brickwork all the way up to where that piece of angle iron is supposed to be attached at the top. And your angle iron is 16 feet, 4 inches long. Which means you've got 2 inches on each side to rest on the brick. Well, it should be at least 15 feet long, or maybe even a little bit longer, so it has at least 6 to 8 inches.
Wait, 15?
Or I'm 16. Sorry, 17. 17, I'm sorry. That would mean 17. So it has at least 6 to 8 inches to rest on each side. Now, that's what you see sometimes inside of your house. When there's an opening, you'll see that crack. And a lot of times, unfortunately, if you want to get it repaired, you got to take that drywall down and you got to repair the framing behind it. But one way that we found that does work, at least better than most, is if you take a V cut and you literally gouge that crack out like a V, then you mud and tape it from that point. In other words, you got to make it worse to make it better. Does that make sense to you?
I've always said you've got to have something to fill. If you're going to patch drywall,
thank you. That's a good way to put it.
You got to have something to fill. So I will carefully cut the paper off, you know, with a knife so that you make a depression.
Yes, yes.
And they crack around windows and doors primarily because where the side of the door or window meets the top of the door or window, there's a force through expansion
and
or movement.
Two corners.
Right? And it's going to... They're pushing against each other, so the only way for that force to be dissipated is diagonally through the top.
And it's in most houses. You see it a lot in houses. And like we said, a lot of people have repaired it and just keeps coming back. I've got a spot in mind where it's right where the tape is, literally right where the opening's at, and they didn't overlap the drywall like they should have over the opening.
Okay.
So that's why I got to crack. And that's something I'm going to be working on here real soon. I have not gone after this, but that's what made me think about this subject. So if I repaired it like I'm supposed to and it comes back, at that point I'd probably look at taking a bunch of drywall down and overlapping it.
Yeah, because you can get a situation because we frame with wood and wood moves as it gets wet and dries and gets wet and dries. And if carpenter crews aren't very careful when they're framing to properly cut and size and secure those framing members above the window and doors, then they may move for the next 40 years.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And you could have issues up in your attic that's making it move as well.
If
the connectors to your trusses aren't properly in place, which unfortunately that happens a lot. You see that way too much.
And we also see due to the grain of wood and the species of wood, where you may have stuff moving over time, especially you mentioned trusses in an attic where you get what the industry calls ghosting, where the sidewall meets the ceiling, it'll periodically open up, and then it'll close again in 4 months. And it happens over the course of 20 years. It's like you almost can't stop it.
And this is where we sometimes like to warn professionals before they get into these issues.
Oh, man.
This is where paperwork is so important, because if I'm a drywall professional and I'm coming in to replace that or to repair that, I'm going to make you, the homeowner, very clear that this is all I can do. I can dig it out. I can take the tape off. I can fill it. I can tape it. I can sand it. I can patch it. But I can't guarantee it's not going to come back because of everything you just said.
Yeah, you're not replacing the frame. You're not restabilizing the frame. But we can talk more about that in the future. Let's go to the phones, eh?
Let's do it. Let's talk to Eric from Sandusky, Ohio. Good morning, Eric. You're on with the guys.
Good morning, fellas. I got kind of an odd question for you.
Okay.
So I flushed my upstairs toilet and the shower upstairs drained, like you can hear it gurgle. I don't have a backup. I mean, nothing's backing up. But why does the it sounds like it wants to be a backup, you know? But this has been going on for a couple months now, and I haven't had any backups.
It's struggling, isn't it, Chuck?
So what's actually gurgling?
Well, I flush a toilet and the shower drain. You can hear the gurgle. In the downstairs toilet, sometimes the water will go bloop. Yeah, so I'm yeah.
Usually.
Oh, I don't know if. Yeah. Go ahead.
Usually, that's a sign of some kind of plug in the drain waste vent. And what you need to do is get somebody on top of the roof or access down to the basement to snake that out.
Okay, you said the vent, not the drain itself.
Well, another word for it is stink pipe. So that, I'm not sure how old your house is. So it's either a piece of PVC or it's a cast iron pipe that's coming out of your house on the roof. And you may have had a little bird sitting up there trying to keep warm. And the gases got to him and he fell down that hole. And now he's plugging it up. Now, I'm not sure that's
that
it.
Vent is the drain. So literally those are connected to each other. And air has to be able to enter the drain for fluids to move through the drain. And if air can't move and come in through that vent like Ken's talking about, it will be sucked in through an adjacent appliance. So in your case, the toilet, in order to flush, needs air, so it's sucking air through the shower.
From the shower.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. In other words, the good news is it's very fixable.
Yeah. Good. Is that a plumber's job or?
Yes.
Do they do that?
Yes. You want a professional to do that. Yep. And it's fixable. They should be able to take care of that for you pretty easy, Eric.
All right. Perfect.
That makes sense.
Hey, Eric, before you go, you're calling from Sandusky, Ohio. Yeah. You're calling from Sandusky, Ohio. Yeah. So I got to ask you a question. Red or blue?
Okay. Ooh.
I'm going red.
Oh. All right, buddy.
Red's always better. Red's always better, fellas.
Okay. have a great day, my friend.
Thanks, Eric.
We'll see you later.
You know, I always, red or blue? What the heck are you talking about?
Ohio State or Michigan? It is rivalry weekend, and we are looking forward to a great game. And we're looking forward to 5 wins in a row for
next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Would it be 5 in a row, really?
It'd be 5 in a row. Wow. Yeah. You know what? What a crazy sport. If you look at the history of that rivalry, teams took over decades. They just didn't win back and forth, back and forth. You had the 10-year war.
Woody Bow.
That was a 10-year war. And I think that was like a 5-4, and they tied one in there. But now it's like Michigan owed the 90s. Ohio State owned most of the 2000s, and now Michigan owns it again.
I know.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
Just like I always say, I want two parties in this country. I don't want one party to take over. I don't ever want Ohio State to go anywhere. I love the rivalry, and they do have to win every once in a while to make the rivalry.
It is fun.
It is fun. I've got such great friends who are Ohio State fans. And here's the thing, everybody. We are rivals. We're not enemies. We're rivals. Keep it fun. 800-859-0957. Taking any and all of your housing questions. The phone lines are open. Want to remind people of our article this week in the Detroit News Home Style section. You know, it should have been titled, "Ooh, That Smell."
I know.
Where are the smells coming from in your house, and how can you help get rid of them? One thing you should never do, and you've heard Chuck and I talk about it a ton, is mask those smells. If you mask them before they even come in your house, you'll never know they're there. You'll be what's called nose blind. Again, we'll take your phone calls, line up the phone calls, because the phone lines are open. 800-859-0957.
888-6. No, it's not.
Not today.
I got the wrong number. That's 800. 859-0957. Boy, I'm so used to doing your vanity number.
We've had that number for a long time, and every once in a while.
You know, I'm curious.
2012.
Okay.
We did a stint on a small radio station for a little while. We picked it up just before we did that.
Gotcha.
You can probably remember that was not a good experience.
I don't remember yesterday, so.
Yeah. Hey, have you got your Christmas lights up yet?
You know what?
Don't tell me. Not you.
Yesterday, my wife and son put up 2 trees and the lights of the trees. So
God bless JD.
We're way ahead of the game, let me tell you. I'll bet you, there's 1,000 lights on our main tree, and it's not a 30-foot tree. It's not that tall a tree.
Really?
It looks great. She does an awesome job.
Now, is it me or is it way early everywhere this year? I see lights everywhere. I've never seen it this early.
And for us, it's real early. But I actually love it.
Me too.
Because it's such a short season.
Me too. I mean, here's the thing. My wife a couple years ago really started getting into the decoration thing at Christmas. And it makes me happy. It's something her and I can spend the day with getting everything ready. I got some furniture to move.
You actually help her?
Is she asked nicely? I'm kidding. Nearly all she has to do is say, move this box, move that box, and I'll do what she says.
Get to work.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. So how many people are plugging in, you know, outdoor lights, indoor lights, and the plugs are throwing breakers and sparking and arcing, and all they got to do is just get a good electrician out there one time.
You're right. You're right. And everybody, you know, we talked last year about how I had those permanent lights installed by Christian's Gutters.
Snotty, yeah.
Oh, those are wonderful. Those are wonderful.
So what do you have to decorate outside? What, you just
my wife
reprogram the color?
You know what? These lights, what I love about these lights is she puts on during the regular season, she'll just put like every fifth one on, and it just lights the house up just enough to keep it light.
So will you do all maize and blue next weekend?
Oh, we do that every game.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We do on Lions games. She'll put Honolulu blue and silver in. But, I mean.
Is that actually an option, Honolulu blue?
I don't know what that is. Listen, gotcha. When it's time to download the app, I don't want anything to do with it. Here, honey, she wanted these lights. Christian DZ from Christian's Gutters took great care of us. We love them. but she has it so every night they just turn on automatically. They turn off automatically. We don't have to do anything about it.
What time do you have them go off?
Well, it's been changing this time of year. Now, she always has them go off at midnight. I'm sorry. When they start is changing, obviously, because during the summer we have them go on at 9 o'clock.
Four in the afternoon.
Now we're doing 5. Yeah, now it's nice and dark at 5 o'clock. But we can program those lights for St. Patrick's Day, Easter, you name the holiday, 4th of July. And she'll do it before, like early in the day, she'll do it. So when they come on, they're just on.
I love it.
And it's so easy not to worry about it. Tell you what. It's made my life a lot easier. Because here's one thing I used to do, Chuck. My dumb, you know what, used to get on my roof when there was snow on the roof and put these lights out for her because she loved it so much. And it was dangerous. I don't ever have to worry about that again.
Big time.
And here's something a lot of people do.
We're too old for that.
When you start putting up those lights, it is so important that at the beginning you make sure you know where you're going to end up, that you have a female end that you can plug in to the male end, because it's happened many times where people are done, they have a male end, and all they have is a male end to plug in with. So, and then they'll self-make a little extension cord that is dangerous. Don't do that.
Even hanging them on a tree. Have you done that
in
years gone by where you did it literally backwards?
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So, it's good stuff.
You know what? We had Cal Svoboda yesterday on, and we didn't get a chance to talk much about Christmas. Because Christmas is the time of year where most fires and most tragedies happen in that little time area. And I just feel so bad for anybody that's had a tragedy around Christmas time because that reminds them of the tragedy instead of what it's meant for.
Would you say that most of what Kyle talks about every year is preventable?
Oh, 100%.
If people just take back up and...
Well, you know what's funny is yesterday I'm charging my DeWalt batteries.
Okay.
And my wife and I had a place to go to. And I went, it's still charging as I left. And it was on my mind. It was fine. Everything was fine. But it's like he just told me, and in my mind I'm thinking, think of the story. Outside guy's house burns down after the day he talks to a fire chief about why it burned down. So the batteries, those lithium ion batteries, be careful of those people. Kyle was on yesterday saying how dangerous those can be. He said we've had 85 fires, I believe, this year with 92 deaths.
Yep.
Does that sound right?
Yep. That's just Michigan.
That's just Michigan, exactly.
You know, I moved all my charging outside to those batteries in the garage. Not outside.
Sure.
In the garage.
Cool.
And I do them in a kind of a drawer in a cabinet. So if I leave the drawer open, I know that there's a battery charging. So if I walk by and I see the drawers open, I go, you got to go disconnect that.
Where do you store your batteries in the wintertime?
I bring the charge batteries in the house and just put them in a box.
I use the DeWalt products. I have a bunch of DeWalt batteries, and I actually hung a little battery holder going down to my basement steps.
Okay.
So they stay warm. Yeah. That's the main reason. I bring them in. They stay warm. Don't let them freeze. Cold kills batteries.
Big time.
Kills batteries.
Big time. You know, it's funny. My summer car, I hadn't driven for a while, and I normally would have it on a trickle charger. Right. And I last week actually went to do something.
Come in here.
Yeah. That's right. I told you about that. And I couldn't even open a door because the battery was completely dead. So I had.
Thank you, modern technology.
Honest to goodness. I got it. So I got it taken care of.
You know what's crazy is that we had life so hard that when we got in a car, we had to manually roll down the window. Times were tough back then.
It's good to revisit, you know, what issues we had 30 years ago compared to what we've got today.
You're so right.
We are so lucky.
You're so right. We live in a great time. In the time that you and I grew up, we were kind of the test guinea pigs for a lot of products. But I believe, and I mean this, that I grew up in the best time this country's ever had.
Oh, me too. I talked to my son about that. You know, we were on the cusp of war, but didn't have to go to war, which is just amazing.
Amazing.
You're right. Yeah. I think of, you know, my father's generation being in a foreign country where nobody knew where they were. No, I mean, letters took a year to arrive.
And many
there was no telephone.
Are still buried.
Exactly.
Over there. Yep.
I mean, what those people went through for so that we could be here. Having our issues today is just amazing.
And you think back to even before the technology, when in England, all right, son says goodbye to his mother, there's a good chance he's never, ever going to see her again.
They're conscripting me to go work on the cathedral in Paris, Mom. I'll see you never again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yet you have no choice. Or they're taking me to
the new
country, you know, to fight the colonials, right?
Just can't. Hey, if anybody is... got the overgrown trees that Ken and I harp on all year long. Now is a good time to prune 99% of them. Cut them way back.
It is. And don't let those weed trees grow anywhere near your foundation. That's what we call them, weed trees. It takes minutes to go cut those things down, and today's a great day for it.
You know, it's funny you said that. We had a spot on the lawn where we had roots from the big, 50-foot pines.
Yep.
Coming toward the house, and when we come back, I'll explain what I did with
them. All right, we'll also take your phone calls, 800-859-0957.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's go right to the phones, partner. What do you say?
Let's do it, bud. Let's talk to Pete in Dearborn. Good morning, Pete. You're on with the guys.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Gentlemen, wow.
Who the hell's he talking to?
How can we help you, sir?
Well, I've got a humidifier in the furnace that's been there for at least the 25 years I've been living here, and I'm tired of fussing with changing the belt and having to replace the float, and it's leaking again, and I'm wondering what other options are there to replace it with.
Boy, good. I mean, what are the things they use when you're sick, Chuck? What do they call those that the warm air comes out?
Mr.
Vapor.
Yeah, vaporizer.
Vaporizer.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, but only thing with that is you're going to have to keep replacing it way too much. How dry is the air in your house?
Don't know offhand. Haven't taken a reading, but probably about 40.
Which is probably good. Yeah. I'll tell you what, if people just kept that air moving, you'd bring up humidity from your basement. That would be enough without adding to it. And you might just try keeping your furnace on auto, so that it's pulling that air through the house continually, and just check your humidity and see if it's good for you.
And I'm not a fan. I don't know about you, Chuck. I'm not a fan of those humidifiers. There is way too much maintenance that has to go with those.
Don't have one.
I'd rather get my humidity, like you just said.
Yeah, I'd rather get it from plants and cooking and showers and.
Go to your local hardware store, buy a $10, $12. Thermostat that humidistat built in with it, and put that in a couple places of your home. And if I have 40% humidity and my air's moving, I'm thrilled.
Okay.
All right.
Try that and let us know.
Will do. Thank you much.
Thank you, sir. Let's talk to Michael from Wyandotte next. Good morning, Michael. You're on with the guys. You there, Michael?
Oh, well.
Yeah, good morning.
There he is. Hello, sir. Hello. How can we help you?
Yeah, good morning. I talked to Chuck a couple weeks ago at a seminar at our office in Farmington Hills regarding a condo I bought in Wyandotte 5 or 6 years ago. The system was finished by the city of Wyandotte, and they put in a geothermal system. And they were putting these geothermal systems in all their new infill housing in Wyandotte. Now, I'm in a smaller condo development, and I seem to be the only one that's having a major issue with the geothermal, and I can't find a real good mechanical contractor to check it and give me some legitimate information about what's happening with it.
You know, I talked to a good friend of ours about you, Pat Kelly, and he said, have the guy give me a call.
He'll be able to help you.
So if you've got a pen handy, let me give you Pat's number.
Okay, I should be able to remember Pat Kelly, fine Irishman.
He is. He's just a wonderful guy.
And his phone number is?
734-634-9100. And I'm telling you, Pat has forgotten more than most people know about those systems.
Yep. He's a dying breed, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, sadly.
That's good information, because most of the people who come to look at the system give me so much contradictory information that I'm not positive they know what's going on with it.
Exactly. I guarantee you Pat does.
We trust Pat, and you can trust him as well. Okay.
I will call him. I appreciate the lead, and I will let you know how it comes out. Thank you.
Please do. Follow up with us.
Good luck. We appreciate it. All right. Talk to our buddy Bruce from Sterling Heights. Hey, Bruce, how you doing, bud?
Hey, I got up and took a breath. I got a good one in, man.
You got it. What's going on, sir?
Hey, the lithium batteries, you want to be careful in that cold weather with them. Charging them in the garage, they claim will kind of layer them or something I'm reading about here. So I do the same thing, and I haven't really noticed any problems. Mine are in the garage charging, and then I bring them in. I got a spot here, actually, on the cement basement wall. I put up a shelf that was not a shelf, but a windowsill that was broken when I was putting it in, the marble one, and I keep the batteries on that afterwards. And I do the same thing in the garage. I got a marble shelf that I charge them on. So I saw a little one blow up right before my eyes, a very little one in a little light, and it was kind of scary. I mean, it was smoking pretty good.
Bruce, what's the issue that you said you had read about?
I looked up online, and they're saying cold weather, it gets some kind of layering or something on the lithium batteries.
So did it really diminish their
A lot of them, they say, have cutoff. A lot of them, they say, have cutoffs, but I've never noticed it. I do the same thing up north at my cottage, and I know how cold that garage is. Last January, I was charged up there, so I don't know. They're still good. I threw away my first lithium battery from my Ryobi set, which I probably don't use as much as, you know, a contractor or anybody, but I use it a lot. I got all my tools are Ryobi 18-volt.
Yep.
And I threw away my first lithium ion battery about 2 months ago, and that thing was from 2016, I think.
Yeah, I threw.
So I had nine years of it. Listen, I want to know if Ken bought that electronic fly swatter yet.
I have not.
That's his wife's Christmas present. Yeah, don't tell him.
You'll love it when they're flying by you and you can get them right out of the air. It's like a tennis racket, and you hear that zip.
He used to be like Mr. Miyagi. He would reach out and grab them
with
and just
chopsticks.
Stun people.
Yeah,
he was so quick. But now
me too.
He's cat-like speed and reflexes.
He's old and diminished, so he can't do that anymore.
Look who's talking. Well, Bruce knew my father, so I know he's quite a bit older than me. So.
Yes, sir. We quaffed a few at across the street from the assembly plant at Lynch Road. So
I think the name of the bar was Filthy J. McNasty's.
And then we had Happy Walters we used to go to, too.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great.
It was a different time and a different place.
Yes, it was.
Go over there at lunch, and they'd have all the drinks were all lined up on the bar for the regulars.
Yep, and because of that.
Nowadays, you'd all be fired.
Yep, and because of that, I haven't touched a drink of alcohol in 30 years. because I've seen what it can do to people. So.
Bruce, are you going to have cranberries as part of your Thanksgiving celebration?
I guess they will. I always take a little bit of it. I don't mind it too much, but it's not my favorite.
Did you know that they are sorted by ripening, by bouncing them? They say a ripe cranberry can be dribbled like a basketball. So I want to see everybody trying that.
They're bitter. Very bitter, bitter.
One more quickie. Do you guys have a good cleaner for these glass stovetops? I'm a pretty good electrician, but a terrible cook.
Go to RMR Solutions. And check out what they have. They have a wealth of different products, and they have some good cleaners for stainless steel, and I'm sure they should have one for what you're looking for.
I gave that name to my neighbor for a shower where he asked me to look at a heat, light, and vent switch in his son's downstairs bathroom, and I told him about RMR. The day I went back to change that switch, oh, my God, it did a fantastic job on their tile shower.
Great product.
Yeah, I use a glass and surface cleaner that they have for my glass stovetop and a few other things, and it works wonderfully. Yeah, I'd buy it again.
Hey, Bruce, great call. Great way to finish out the show, my friend. You there still? Bruce.
He got sick of you.
He must have. His battery died. Thanks for calling, Bruce. And thanks, everyone else, for calling. Thanks to Rich Piccarelli from Calculus Foundation and Basement Waterproofing. Everyone have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Chuck and I are going to be here live next weekend. So line up with questions and calls because nobody wants us at their place.
So good point.
We'll see everyone next weekend. From the rift of the basement, the street to the back fence. If you need it, the guys are here for you.
Hey, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.